Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com where you can click the Listen Live tab for 24/7 talk radio. While you're there, please check out the articles and podcasts updated daily and share those on social media because we face the same social media censorship that so many of you face. So when you share that on social media, it really does help out a great deal. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to have on guest military veteran and author David McGrath is going to be joining the show once again. Going to talk about the withdrawal in Afghanistan in our third half coming up on the anniversary of that. So we're looking forward to speaking with David throughout the show tonight. But before we get into Afghanistan, I want to talk about Mitch McConnell and the GOP. Mitch McConnell recently put out a statement that said, "Do not be surprised if the Republicans do not take back the Senate in November." To me, it kind of seems like a loser attitude. He went on to cite that the reason that they might not take back the Senate is some of these Republican candidates, as he put it, are weak. I think this is Mitch McConnell pushing back on President Trump, who has total control of the Republican Party. That's clear by his record and endorsements this election cycle. So I think this is a lot of jealousy by Mitch McConnell. Part of him probably doesn't even care if Republicans take back the Senate or not, if these are America First Republicans, because he can see the writing on the wall that he is being pushed out. And I think that's the right thing for the party. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
Andrew, I'm doing great. And glad that everyone is tuning in tonight to listen to another episode of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And equally excited to have David McGrath on the show tonight to talk about his experience in Afghanistan and just to talk with us, join us in our conversation of hot topics. One of the things that you mentioned is Mitch McConnell, the minority leader of the House. And him coming out saying, don't be surprised if Republicans, the GOP, they don't take the Senate or the House this fall. Well, Andrew, you and I, we've been talking about this for quite some time. And our position has been, do not underestimate Republicans' ability to lose it all. They have the wind at their back. I mean, they're positioned that they could take the whole kit and caboodle. With crime, a culture in society, you would think people would be running toward the Republican Party. But why would they if they can't find the Republican Party? If the Republican Party isn't out front saying, these are the things that we stand for, why even go to them? If you're looking just like the Democrats, Mitch McConnell, why even go to the Republican Party? Who's talking about the crime? Who's talking about our falling culture? Who's talking about inflation? Who's talking about the economy? Who's talking about the Democrat Party trying to indoctrinate our kids, trying to mutilate our kids? Who's talking about the Democrat Party trying to sexualize our kids? They're busy trying to defend Trump. Okay, that's fine. We know what's happening to Trump should not be happening. It's a breakdown of our justice system. It's a breakdown of the FBI. But that's one part. Look at the other elements. No one's talking about it. Mitch McConnell couldn't care less. And for Mitch McConnell to say, well, we don't have good candidates. Mitch, you're not a good candidate and you're in office. What are you doing to help support these candidates? You can't just stay on the Hill and get on your lectern and then say, well, this is not right and that's not right. And when I say they're busy trying to defend Trump, they're not even doing that. They're busy telling us, well, let's wait on the process. Let's wait and see what happens. Wait on the process for what? We waited for 4 years nearly with Russia collusion. There was no there there. There was never a there there. All you guys had to do was to come out and say, there's no there there. What were you afraid to do? I mean, I don't get it. You have Republicans on the Hill saying the same thing now. Well, let's wait and see what the FBI has to say. And, you know, because we don't want to demonize the FBI. We're not demonizing the FBI, but we are demonizing the upper ranks, the ones who are corrupt, like Christopher Wray. Democrats have no problem calling out Republicans when they're in office and they feel that they're not doing something right. Why are we holding back our tongue? Now, I just gave you a platform as to what these Republicans could run on, but they won't do it. Well, you know, Dr. Oz, well, maybe he should have, maybe. What do you mean, maybe? Then you get behind him and you support him. You get behind Herschel Walker. You get behind the candidate, Ricky Lake, in Arizona. You get behind the candidate in Michigan. What are you guys doing? Just sitting there watching them sink? This is what Republicans are good at, because they want to go back to the status quo. They want to go back to the Bush-Cheney years. They want to go back to the old Republican Party, whereby we just sit there, we raise money, and we say, oh, woe is me. They're talking about me. They're attacking me. And then we do absolutely nothing. That kind of Republican is actually a Democrat. Look at Liz Cheney. Against all the odds, she knew she was going to fail. She knew it. But the hate for the party, actually, as well as for Trump, did her in. And now she's, well, you know, I'm Abraham Lincoln, and I might run for the presidency. For what? Well, I'll take away votes from Donald Trump should he run. No, you're taking away votes from the actual voters. You're taking away their vote. Why would you want to split the vote knowing that the Democrats could get it? This is the kind of logic that they use. They don't think with common sense. When Trump ran the first time, they had like 20 candidates running. It's like, do you actually think you're going to win? This is the problem with the Republican Party. No one wants to sit down and say, look, let's get our house in order. Instead, they'll come out like Mitch McConnell and say, well, don't be surprised if we don't. Well, again, I know this is early. This is during the summer. And the race will probably start to form and take heat after Labor Day. But right now, it's not the time to wave the white flag. Yeah, you want to make sure that the base isn't just sitting down on its laurels and sitting on its hands and thinking, oh, well, we got this, because then they'll become too comfortable and won't go to vote. But there's a lot at stake here. There's a great deal at stake. We don't want to miss this opportunity, because if we sit down and sit back and do absolutely nothing, which is what a lot of Democrats are hoping, and allowing them to put this garbage in our heads that they're going to win, we will lose royally, and we will lose this country.
Do you think that my statement was correct, that Mitch McConnell is perhaps very jealous of President Trump and these America First candidates that he's getting endorsed? Because it seems like there's a lot of pushback on a lot of these candidates that President Trump endorses from some of these rhino Republicans.
Well, no doubt about it. And you look at the rhino Republicans as if though they were going to have a cakewalk during the general. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And yes, he's jealous because they hate the fact that people are still saying this is Trump's party. See, they enjoy when the media, the liberal media, and even the right, got to admit it, say that, well, Trump is losing his grip on the party. He's losing his grip. What do you mean losing his grip? He was a president. It's his party now. Get on board or be left behind. Get on board. But, you know, they've created this craziness that we got to take it from him because he's not doing this. What do you mean? He's standing up. He's calling these guys what they are. And you sit there and let them attack you. Even Kevin McCarthy. I'm surprised he went to Wyoming to rally behind Liz Cheney's opponent. Because at one point he was saying, oh, no, let's support Liz. He even supported that Butler lady in Seattle, Washington State. This has got to change. It has to change. What do you say, David?
Well, thanks so much for having me on. It's so much to say in such a short period of time there, Rob. I appreciate it. In regards to Mitch McConnell, it's just, you know, if nothing else, know this. Mitch McConnell will always be closer to Nancy Pelosi than he will be to the voters of Kentucky. And if Mitch McConnell comes out and waves the flag for, you know, America First type candidates or Donald Trump backed candidates, that's going to make for some very awkward times around the country club when he's golfing with Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's son, as he's been pictured before. It's a uniparty. And nothing will change. And you know, I hear a lot of Republicans say, I can't wait until we take the the House and the Senate back. And I'm not really sure that that will even matter, if it even happens at this point. So until guys like Mitch McConnell, Dan Crenshaw, guys like that are out of there, then there will be no real change.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Dan Crenshaw, because he's another one that Republicans supported. We stood behind him when he was attacked by the media. We stood behind him. But the moment he saw an opening to attack Trump, the moment he saw an opening that, wait a minute, I could be on the world stage. I have all these Republicans supporting me. Maybe, perhaps, I could be on the world stage and I could possibly run for the presidency. Delusions of grandeur. And that's what it is. Simply because the party is supporting you does not mean we want you to be the president. Go ahead, Dave.
And if I can make one note on Liz Cheney. This is a woman who the liberal media, the Democratic Party, painted her father as a war criminal. They did everything in their power to destroy the man, all the way down to making Hollywood movies with guys like Josh Brolin playing her father, painting him in the light of really a psychopathic, insane, bloodthirsty oil tycoon who somehow managed to get his way into government. I mean, they did everything in their power to destroy the Cheney family name. If Liz Cheney hated Donald Trump so much, then I'm very confused on her voting record, because her record while she had that seat under President Trump was 94% that she voted with Trump. In all the issues of all the years that they were together while Trump was president, 94% of the time she rubber stamped everything that Trump tried to put through. And then when things came down and we had the trespassing event and she saw the opportunity for the same media that destroyed her family name to align with them, she did it. And I'll never understand it. It cost her political career. You know, you made the inference to her talking about running for president. I mean, you just got thumped by 40 points to a political novice in your own election. I mean, in no way, shape or form will Liz Cheney, you know, she'll probably get Kamala Harris type numbers, you know, 1%, 0.5%. And to make such a statement like that about President Lincoln is a way of thinking that I'm not sure any of us now could grasp. It's quite funny. But again, the point is that Liz Cheney never had a problem with Donald Trump or any of his policies, because if you look at her voting record, she never disagreed with him once when it came down to it. She never made any flags then. It wasn't until she saw the opening, as you said, with the guys like Crenshaw, snakes like Dan Crenshaw, to try and get the media on their side and get this sort of adulation that is so intoxicating to these politicians that they'll go against the will of their own voters. I mean, ask yourself, and I really want to know the answer to this question. Do you think the people who are voting for Liz Cheney in Wyoming think that January 6th is the biggest issue that's facing them right now? Because, you know, Liz Cheney believes that her voters, that's all they care about, because that's all she ever talks about. I never see her talking about inflation. I never see her talking about 87,000 IRS agents who are here to audit the middle class and destroy them. I never talk about the record fentanyl that's coming through that's killing American kids to the point where grave diggers can't even keep up digging their graves. They don't talk about 10% of the inflation rate, where our money is basically going to be worthless. You're going to be taking a suitcase to buy a loaf of bread soon. I never hear about any of that. All I hear about is the fact that Nancy Pelosi had to hide under her desk for 5 minutes. And the people of Wyoming don't care about that.
These were all good points. I was enjoying what you were saying, because everything that you said, Liz Cheney needs to sit down and listen and pay attention. But it's too late now, because she's out. And I wish she would just go away, fade away in anonymity. But she, Republicans like her, Mitch McConnell, Dan Crenshaw, they have this high opinion of themselves. There is no way Liz Cheney's constituents in Wyoming were thinking about Jan 6. No one is thinking about Jan 6, but Liz Cheney, Mitch McConnell, and probably Dan Crenshaw and a lot of other rhinos. They're the only ones. They can't get beyond it. And as I've said before, and I will continue to say it, it was a college boy prank compared to what happened during the spring and summer of 2020 and 2021 and what's happening right now in our large cities. And then they want to tell us, oh, we've got to make certain we have law and order. What about the law and order in our large cities where people are constantly being killed? And you know who the culprit is. Let's not deceive ourselves. The culprit are the same people that you're saying we need diversity and we need equity. They are Black men that are out of control, Black men that are criminals. Yes, some of them might have mental illness. Yes, there are a few of them that are white and Mexicans, but overall, let's just speak truth to power. The group that you're trying to say, oh, we need to give them a fair chance. They are destroying the city and we need to stop it. But Mitch McConnell is not concerned about that. He's too concerned about, well, you know, Trump, we've got to make certain that he doesn't get to the office again. That's their only concern. And it has to stop.
Robert, just a week ago, last weekend in Chicago, there were 45 people shot and killed, including an 8-year-old girl and a 10-month-old baby. There was never a weekend in 20 years of war in Afghanistan and Iraq where 45 Americans were killed. It is more dangerous to live in Chicago right now than it is to be in a war zone. Nobody talks about it. All we talk about is a trespassing event and some alleged documents that maybe a former president has at his golf club. And that's all we talk about. And you're seeing the rot right now. You're seeing how it affects the country. You're seeing how we're rotting from the inside out. We have zero attention span to any issues that actually matter. And the narrative always is stay on top of these silly issues so we don't see how both political parties in every city and every state, outside of a few outliers like Florida, are failing the American people so bad. And we don't see it because half the country watch the TV and just go, oh yeah, I need to focus on that. And because it's ugly to focus on other issues. And you're seeing it. I mean, you're seeing the rot from the inside out. You know, any average person on the street will tell you, you know, it's much more dangerous to live in America today than it was, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Nobody cares. Nobody does anything about it. There's no oversight committees. There's no hearings on primetime TV. This is what we're doing now. This is your country.
Yeah, well said. You're tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on the America Out Loud iHeartRadio channel Monday through Friday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, or 6 p.m. on the West Coast. We'll be back with more After Dark with Rob and Andrew and special guest David McGrath.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
And we're back, having the same conversation, hoping that our Republicans will wake up. And by the way, guys, just in case you hear some little ones, my little ones are tucked away. They're playing like they're asleep, but they're listening to me. And David's little ones are also up and about. So if you hear some little chatter going around, that's what it is. They're trying to get out on the conversation. Now, back to the topic at hand and these rhino Republicans. I want to talk about the former VP. No, not Joe Biden. We're not going to talk about him right now, although he's always a topic of our conversations. But I want to talk about Mike Pence, because I know that some of you have noticed that Mike Pence has been supporting candidates that have been running against Trump candidates. And I think so far, Trump has been besting him at every end, which is good. They can support different candidates. I'm okay with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Mike Pompeo even supported a candidate that Trump didn't support. But Mike Pompeo came out the other day and said that the entire Jan 6 fiasco, the trial that is, not what happened, but the kangaroo court, is nothing but that, a kangaroo court, and they're looking for something. Mike Pence came out and said that the raid on Mar-a-Lago should not have happened. Mike Pompeo came out and said it should not have happened. While Mike Pence is coming out seeing something completely different. He decides to come out and say that, hey, he would be willing to testify before the Jan 6 committee. He said that, wait a minute, we shouldn't just all at once attack the FBI agents that raided Mar-a-Lago. We shouldn't be attacking our law enforcement officers. We need to wait and see what happened. Oh, really? So you want to tell me that you're going to wave your hand up and say, hey, I'll testify before the Jan 6 committee without them even asking you to do so. I'll do it. And you're going to say that now at this crucial moment, right before an election. Oh, I'll testify. And then you're going to come out and say, oh, that raid that's taking place. Oh, come on. Let's just wait and let it play out. Let what play out? We allow the Russia collusion deal to play out and look at where it got us. Nowhere. It caused more harm to our country. More harm. But we want to wait. Now, if they were to raid him, he would be up in arms. Remember when he appeared on The View and they attacked him? They attacked his wife? Joy Behar said, oh, he's talking to God. Is he crazy? And the Republican Party, the voters, got behind him and supported him. Now, I don't know if he's planning on running for the presidency or not. I've said before, there was a dereliction of duty on his part before the election. But maybe he feels that, oh, I see a path to the White House. Now, Mike, I wasn't enthralled about you being the VP. I felt that Trump should have gotten someone else with more of a personality. But I accepted it. And I said, okay, they will equal each other out. Right. And we were okay with you during that time. But now, oh, I'll testify. What are you going to testify? Are you going to go in and testify and say, well, what I told the people before we counted the electorals is that they were going to have their day. And we can play the tape. I want the Jan 6 folks to play the tape. Ron Goldston, he needs to play that tape. He needs to work that into his Hollywood production of Jan 6. Of Mike Pence coming out saying, you have concerns, I have concerns, and your voices will be heard. What was that all about? What did you mean by that, Mike? We need to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, we do. You know, Rob, I liked Mike Pence. I thought he was a pretty good vice president for the most part. But obviously, after January 6th, that ruined his political career for the foreseeable future. I mean, this guy, I had high hopes for. I did think after President Trump won another election in 2020 that Mike Pence was probably the next in line to run for president and become the president with President Trump's policies doing so well. And it did seem like, you know, President Trump is so boisterous and aggressive. Mike Pence is a little more even keel. They did balance each other out well, and I thought they made a good team. But it's just a shame what Mike Pence did on January 6th. He let everyone down. And in essence, that ruined his political career, because if he would have done the right thing on January 6th, he would still be looked with promise from the Republican Party and Republicans all across America. But doing what he did, he blew any trust and hope that people had in him. And I think it's going to end his political career. I know he's out speaking all over now. He's going to run for president of the United States, and he will lose. But he's got no one to blame but himself. What are your thoughts, David?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you, Andrew. I think that I thought Mike Pence was a great choice for VP at the time. He, if you look at his voting record in Indiana, he governed very, very conservatively. I thought he could be sort of the steady long-term politician in the room for a new president who had obviously very little experience being a president or a politician anyway, which was a great thing. It turned out being a very good thing. You know, that said, we had, 81,000 votes come in Georgia after a toilet clogged, allegedly. We had, paper ballots that were, people voting with addresses that were underpasses and, restaurants, wing joints. And we had a chance to really take a look at what happened in the 2020 presidential election if Mike Pence had not decertified it. He had all the power in the world to do so. And he picked to not have those awkward moments at the country club. And for that, he killed his political career. Again, if he does run, which I would strongly advise against, it'll be Kamala Harris type numbers, 1-2%. His political career is over. And we would have liked to see him do the right thing. And I'm sure we'll all get audited for this conversation. But I mean, there's a lot of questions about the 2020 election. There's a lot of questions about the legitimacy of Joe Biden's presidency. And we could have stopped it dead in its tracks right there and had a really hard look at it. And Mike Pence chose not to. And that's why he'll never be president. He'll probably never hold political office anywhere. And he killed his career. And for what reason? So you could golf with Mitch McConnell with no awkward questions. I mean, that's the route he chose. And I liked him in that role. But when it came time to really make the hard decisions, he did what 99% of people, who've held office in our lifetime would have done. He chose the route of the uniparty, and that killed him.
And you're right. He, like Liz Cheney, supported Trump's policies. But when it came time to do what was right, when it really mattered, he decided not to. He himself told the American people, he himself told the base, you have concerns, I have concerns. Those concerns will be heard. But then the day of, when he was supposed to fulfill his constitutional duties. Now, I know that we have a lot of legal scholars that are out there now, a lot of historians that are saying, well, the Constitution wasn't clear. Well, the Constitution didn't say, but they never said that when you had Democrats on the floor trying to challenge the certification of the electoral votes. They didn't do it once. They did it more than once. They did it twice. In fact, one of the captains or whatever they want to call themselves on the Jan 6 committee had come out and done the exact same thing when Trump won in 2016. And now they're saying that, that what you guys did was illegal and the Constitution isn't specific. What do you mean? All Mike Pence had to do is to say, is there anyone here that wants to challenge the certification of these votes? Not one, but two. We had one person from the floor, from the House, a representative that said, I want to challenge it. He said, are you enjoined with a senator? Not one, not two, but three, maybe more, said, I stand here. Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley. And at that moment, if you look back at the camera, at the video, Mike Pence looked really befuddled, like, oh my gosh, what do I do now? I'm afraid. They're following the Constitution. How dare they?
Yeah.
They're following the Constitution. Now, I've just, Jamie Raskin, that was the person on the Democrat side who challenged Trump's election. Now he's one of the captains on the kangaroo court. But going back to 2020, when you had not one, not two, but three, said, yes, we stand with this representative. Mike Pence looked befuddled. He was afraid. And he said, well, we're going to move on. Dereliction of duty, Mike Pence.
And again, Robert, too, the left always projects onto you exactly what they're doing. So the big hubbub at the time was, the Republicans are challenging the freest and fairest election when you have people like Stacey Abrams, who regularly come on CNN and MSNBC
and, you know, outright say that her governorship election in the state of Georgia, where she lost by 50,000 votes, was a fraud. And she still does. I mean, to this very day, she says it on every single interview, and she's given primetime slots. Hillary Clinton paid millions of dollars, did, you know, some of the most underhanded, dirty things on earth to try and prove that the 2016 presidential election was fraud, even though she was just a terrible candidate. And people were so sick of a terrible Democrat leadership. And for Mike Pence, the last point, you know, more than anything, what I thought about at the time was, you're not only doing the American people a favor by making sure that the election was on the level, you're also going to save the American people, if it turns out that it was true, from terrible policies being stuffed down their throat, like we're getting now with, you know, the Build Back Better boondoggle, the Inflation Reduction Act, things that are going to make sure that you and my kids and grandkids own nothing and like it, are dirt poor, and will be paying back debt for the rest of their lives. And Mike Pence, more than anything, has that on his shoulders, in my opinion. Forget about the decertification. Forget about the cowardice with that. The reason why you're getting terrible Democrat policies stuffed down your throat right now is because Mike Pence was a coward. Nothing more, nothing less.
You're right. So they're not looking at the future. They're okay. They're willing to forego all of this, the American dream, for the Democrats to take control. Just think about it. They are willing, as we were talking about Mitch McConnell, they are willing to take a seat in the back. They don't want to fight. They just want to just to sit there. And then they want us voters to keep supporting the Mandarin.
Yeah, speaking of not fighting, one of the things that always stands out to me on January 6th was that loser, Kelly Loeffler. She just got done losing her election in Georgia in a pretty controversial election. It was after the highly disputed presidential election, if you remember, like a month later, they had those Georgia elections. Yeah, and she, on that day, she said that she was not going to certify the results herself or vote for the certification of Joe Biden. And she gets up there and she changes her mind after the January 6th incident. As we always say, never underestimate the Republicans' ability to screw things up. And she was just a huge disappointment.
Andrew, they've always been, in my opinion, controlled opposition. They want the Republicans to oppose them, but not oppose them too much. And you look at someone like Loeffler and even Governor Kemp in Georgia, who, by the way, only has his job because of a Trump endorsement. Donald Trump pushed Governor Kemp hard down there. And the only reason he had that job was because of Trump. And he, too, turned around and stuck the knife right in his back as soon as things came on top. And I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I forgot about the Loeffler thing. And Georgia is a joke. You have a guy there now, an avowed communist, who beat his wife and ran her over with a car on camera, who looks like he's got a 10% lead over Herschel Walker out there. That state is lost. And, you know, the main point is, I really do believe that the Republicans have just always been controlled opposition. They're just there to be a minor speed bump on the road to total breakdown of American society.
And it's really unfortunate, because if the Republicans were to pull together and say, we're going to stand together to get these candidates over the finish line, but they won't do it. They'd rather stay in the background and say, oh, we're the party that they don't like. The Democrats are calling you white supremacists. They're saying that you should not exist. Look at George Carville. He came out and said, oh, this Republican Party, they're evil. We have never seen anything like this before in our history. They are after the destruction. They want to eradicate. They want to end. They want a one-party system. That's it. If you are a Republican, they want to label you a white supremacist, and then you have to go away. If they could, if they win in November, they will come out, and then they will probably try to label and make an official law that anyone supporting Republicans are white supremacists and that they're a terrorist group. We have to be aware of this. We must wake up, because they are after the end of the Republican Party, but these Republicans don't see it. These old heads, that is the reason why it is time to get them out and bring in these MAGA candidates. The fact that they're trying to say MAGA is white supremacist, it's evil. They don't care about us. Liz Cheney should have known that. You would think she would have said, wait a minute, I can't side with this party. I can't be on their side. And they're promoting me. They're putting me up. You got the resident Biden calling Cheney when she lost her election. I mean, what did he say? Oh, I'm so sad. It's so unfortunate because you are the true embodiment of the Republican Party. Yeah, but you just threw my dad in the fire when he was in office. You said that he was everything but a son of God. It's like, come on, Liz, don't you see what's happening? They don't like you. They don't like Republicans. They hate us because they want a socialist society. And the only way they can get it is destroy the Republicans, because they know that they will stand at the gate and say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen. Andrew, as I always say, we've got to wake up and do better.
Yeah, we have to wake up. And it seems like Liz Cheney is posturing for a spot, maybe at MSDNC or CNN with her comments after the election, because obviously she does not have a political career. Even Mitt Romney's came out and said if Liz Cheney runs for president in 2024, she's going to lose, and she's going to lose badly. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Rob and I did, and we're so happy we tried Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. And it won't cost you anything to go to healthycell.com and check out all the great products, read all the reviews, and find out if Healthy Cell is right for you. You can save 20% off with the code OUTLOUD. So go to healthycell.com, use the promo code OUTLOUD, and you can get 20% off all the great products. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
So, last half of the show. I want to talk about Afghanistan. As you guys know, we are approaching the anniversary of 9/11. We are in the throes of the anniversary of the failed withdrawal from Afghanistan, where 13 soldiers, American citizens, lost their lives. It should not have happened. We also know that about 1,000 Americans have been left behind enemy lines in Afghanistan. We also know that individuals in Afghanistan that worked with our coalition as translators were left behind. We also know that women who were going to schools, who were making a lot of gain in society in Afghanistan, have been forced back underground. Some of them have been beaten. Well, here in America, we're saying women's rights. We're all for it. We're championing women's rights. gays, lesbians in Afghanistan? Oh, they've probably been slaughtered by now, thrown off buildings, beaten. And we just witnessed on TV the terrorist group in Afghanistan celebrating the victory that America lost. Our mainstream media won't cover it. They won't talk about it. A year ago, when those 13 soldiers lost their lives, they wouldn't talk about it. They looked the other way. They said, nothing to see here. Let's move on to the next topic. We got to be concerned about COVID, which we know was a complete hoax, the vaccine that is, and who needs to take it, and staying 6 feet apart. Because the CDC is now coming out and saying, well, we've screwed that royally. The 6 feet apart was just made up arbitrarily by Dr. Frankenstein. He just said, let's stay 6 feet apart to keep people from communicating, to keep people from talking about what's actually happening, is that the country is being destroyed from the inside out. We don't want people talking about that. We don't want people to talk about how Joe Biden needs to have a cognitive exam. We don't want people talking about Hunter Biden's laptop. And we certainly don't want them talking about the failed withdrawal in Afghanistan. So what do we want them to talk about? Oh, we want them to talk about diversity and equity. We want them to talk about changing their sexes. We want them to talk about how we're going to open up the military to make it a rainbow coalition. And we've got Mark Milley, who's on board with it, General Austin, who's on board with it, because they're part of the industrial complex. And we're going to keep all this money coming in, and we're going to look at Ukraine, and we're going to have money coming in there. We'll just have like money, 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 and sunshine. But talk about everything but the issue. And don't you dare mention how we failed in Afghanistan. How many cable news stations have mentioned the names of those boys and girls who died? The 13 soldiers. How many? People barely know their names. They know nothing about them. But they'll say, oh, well, Joe Biden just killed the head guy there in Afghanistan. Well, he was living there openly in a mansion. But we don't want to talk about those failures. It's a disgrace, and it's pathetic. America is more than just that. So as we mentioned at the top of the hour and throughout our show, that we have on Army veteran David McGrath, who's experienced the art of war, who has been there. We want him to give his thoughts as to those 13 soldiers and why Joe Biden's administration is trying to weaken our military. Whereas we're looking at China, oh my God, look at China, they're threatening Taiwan. But we don't want to say anything because we don't want to make the Chinese mad. Yeah, but we don't got a military to go up against them anyway. Well, part of a military, you know. We're trying to destroy it. It's unbelievable, yet still is happening before our eyes. So you should know already who to vote for in November. You're either voting for America or you're voting for the foreign interests of other countries. David, what do you say? Give us insight as to what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, the more and more I think about the events of last year, you know, just the more and more pissed I get, you know, when I think about last year when we had all gotten together and talked when this initially happened, you know, I was sort of round the clock talking to all my, you know, inner network of Afghanistan veterans. I had been deployed in Kabul. I had been to that airport hundreds and hundreds of times. I had been on the streets of Kabul. It was like a second home. It's really disturbing to hear that all five major branches of the service now are putting out last ditch efforts to get any sort of recruiting numbers close to their goal this year. Every single one of them is down almost 20%. The Army is now starting to take kids who have backgrounds with drugs and misdemeanors and felonies. Even non-high school graduates are invited now to apply. Anything the left touches immediately begins to get destroyed. And that institution that I spent nearly 20 years of my life in is slowly being destroyed. We have these, you know, sort of lowering the standards and bringing people in who don't belong there. And it's all because of Joe Biden's neocon agenda and the fact that American boys and girls take a look at it and go, Joe Biden is liable to get me killed. And I don't want to do that. And what is he going to do when I do get killed and they bring me home and Joe Biden's, you know, looking at his Rolex and doesn't have even, you know, the slightest shred of decency to take off his little obedience mask to look my family in the face and explain why I got killed. I can assure you that none of the families of the 12 Marines and one soldier who were killed last year around this time in Afghanistan have been talked to. They've been thrown completely overboard by this administration. Nobody's reached out to them to explain to them what's going on. Not Lloyd Austin, who, you know, basically all Lloyd Austin has done in his career is fail in Iraq and be a Barack Obama, Joe Biden rum swab. And that's why he is where he is. He doesn't have a single accomplishment to his name. Mark Milley, who's a longtime careerist, who was walking around 2.5 years ago talking about MAGA and, you know, how great Donald Trump was. And the minute Trump left, he turned around and put the knife right in his back and went along with Joe Biden's neocon agenda. Mark Milley's too busy looking for white rage to say anything about the 13 kids that died under his watch. And never mind the drone strike that happened right afterwards, which killed an Afghan civilian who had helped the army doing some interpreter work and his entire family. So not only did we lose 13, we also turned around and committed a completely illegal drone strike on the streets of Kabul that nobody ever talks about anymore. So, you know, 1 year later, it's these people have no patriotism. There's not a single shred of humanity in any of these politicians. To them, it's just another name on the voter roll. It's just another limo driver. It's just another bellhop. The left has hated the military for 6 decades. No president since JFK has won the vote in the military, Democratic side anyway. And they've been just trying to destroy it forever. And now they finally had the opportunity to do so, and they did it. There's not a single person up on the Hill who cares about what happened last year or can even remember it, especially Joe Biden. We've moved on to worrying about a guy who may have some documents in his golf, you know, in his golf club who hasn't been president in 2 years. They're starting to turn their sights toward destroying people who may be their opposition 2024. And there's not a single human being up there that could even tell you what happened last year in Afghanistan that happened in the social media age where you saw, you know, Black Hawk helicopters landing, picking up dignitaries from the embassy. I mean, it was the biggest embarrassment and national disgrace in my lifetime. And, you know, there's been no oversight committee. There's been no hearings in prime time. Liz Cheney isn't running around talking about it. Nobody cares. And it just goes to show you what a disaster we really are. And I'm surprised you mentioned Taiwan. I'm surprised China didn't take it on the day after.
Yeah.
And that's where all they're made for all of our vehicles. If China takes Taiwan, you won't have a single car on your car lot to buy. They'll all be down. And we're supposed to just say no big deal because China's been paying Joe Biden's family for decades. And
no one, well, here's the thing. I mean, no one, you just made all these valid points. And these are the things that Republicans should be out. I mean, we keep the entire show, we have given them like bullet points as to the things they could be talking about, but they keep shying away from it. Why? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. But one thing that you said that I want to focus in on is the lowering of the standards, because neither branch of the military has met their quota as far as getting people in. And why is it? Like you said, do you actually want to go in when you know, hey, they don't care anything about me. They're more concerned about diversity. They're going to let people, high school dropouts, people with felons, people with records to join the military? Are you serious? Whereas China is telling their man, wait a minute, we don't want any girly man, turn off the TV, get to the gym and work out. But if we dare say that, oh, you're being too harsh. What is the problem with the man being a man, with the man being strong? What is wrong with that?
Yeah, there's so many longer discussions to in that saying. But yes, I mean, listen, there was a two-pronged problem. Number one, on national television, 13 kids got evaporated by a roadside bomb that we knew was coming. B, we had great intel on. And C, you had a bunch of kids there who had just hit ground on country. Most of them were below 20 years old. And so we had, an issue of training, and we had an issue of intel breakdown. And people got to see that live on TV. And then they watched the president of the United States look at his Rolex when the body was coming off the bird. That the American people were, I never saw this country so angry. Forget about Donald Trump, forget about Republicans, forget about January 6th. Last August this time, I never saw the country this angry. The Veterans Crisis Line went down because so many veterans were calling in suicidal, asking what the hell was going on. I never saw it like that. It literally went down. So that's your first problem. That's gonna hurt recruiting. Your second problem is guys who were in, like myself, who had many, many years under their belt, were thrown out for an experimental vaccine that we wouldn't take because we don't need. So you got rid of everybody. And then you had these incredible failures live on TV. So there's a whole, you know, group of young people coming up now who saw that happen and say, I don't need a vaccine. Why would I join the military? And that's what you're seeing. This is what you're seeing. Every single branch of the service is below their recruiting standards. If we got invaded today, I don't care. If Belarus could invade this country, we wouldn't win right now with this military. And even when we had a strong military, we didn't win any wars. I mean, when was the last time we won a war? We lost in Iraq. We got our asses kicked. We had to turn tail and embarrass the hell out of ourselves in Afghanistan for, you know, against a bunch of tribesmen using, you know, 16th century weapons. We haven't won anything. So in every single day on the news, in schools and college, university, everywhere you go, they're ripping your patriotism out from under you and telling you that if you believe that America is the greatest experiment of all time, whether it be imperfect or not, which it isn't, of course, that you're somehow a white nationalist. There's no patriotism left in the country. It's not what it was when we grew up, when our fathers were telling us, you know, stand up for the, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance, God, country, family. It's not like that. They're not taught that anymore. We're taught to worship, you know, celebrity, worship government, social issues, things like that. Things that really, in the grand scheme of things, have absolutely no matter on whether or not the world is a good place or if your life is good.
Yeah, well said, David. And we've always heard from the military that they don't leave soldiers behind. They don't leave Americans behind. But as Rob informed me, that there's approximately still 1,000 Americans still stuck in Afghanistan from what we're hearing. Of course, the media would never cover this. What do you think the life is like for these Americans stuck in Afghanistan and some of these Afghanis that helped the American military? Do you think the Taliban is making their life a living hell right now?
Our life is a hellscape for them right now. We are right back to Sharia law, which is an ancient way that the Sunnis and the Shiites in Afghanistan adhere to. Women are not allowed to participate in elections, and not allowed to participate in the workforce, not allowed to learn. You know, for a country that worships equity and inclusion, we sure turn a blind eye to the Afghanis' views on gays, because you'll just run around that country sometimes and see people falling out of the sky, because usually the punishment for being gay is death in those kind of countries. And, you know, it's a lot of organized crime. You know, kids will pick up arms because they're paid to do so. Women are, you know, they're treated like third, fourth class citizens. And for an American over there, I mean, I can't imagine. They're either being held captive and, you know, will show up on YouTube someday, or they're running around the country with some sort of foreign aid, which is what I hope. But, you know, of course they left them there. The pain was always the point, guys. The embarrassment was always the point. And all of these discussions are utterly pointless unless you start from the thought that the embarrassment was always supposed to be there, and they don't care. All they care about is how it's polling with women, how much money is in the coffers for the next election. There is not a shred of decency or humanity in any of these politicians. They deserve nothing more than your contempt, and they deserve none of your respect. And there's one more thing I'd like to say. In a cruel and unusual twist, a Marine Lance Corporal who was killed at the bombing last year, a man named Kareem Nakui, his brother committed suicide at his memorial service this just this past week. So that mother, that father have now lost two boys to Joe Biden's utter incompetence, and nobody cares. Nobody talks about it. And I'm glad we are right now.
You're right. Andrew mentioned it earlier this week on one of our shows, well, last week on one of our shows, about that guy that killed himself during a memorial service. No one talks about it. The media shies away from it on both the left and the right. You would think that they would show some compassion and say, this is what has happened. This is what our country has come to, but they don't want to talk about it. Why don't they want to talk about it? They want to talk about Jan 6 and they're going after Trump. That's important going after Trump, because what is happening to him should not happen, and it could happen to you with illegal searches by the FBI, which is completely corrupt. But they won't talk about that mother. Not one, but two sons are gone now. How she's feeling, what she's thinking. It's disgraceful. But this is our country. This is a country that they're trying to turn, they're trying to change. And all of this is Joe Biden's fault. It's Joe Biden's fault. Well, don't blame Joe Biden. No, because Joe Biden is at the top. He's busy vacationing in South Carolina at some sugar daddy's mansion with Hunter Biden, who should be investigated, who should be in jail right now. If he were Black, he would be in jail. He's a convicted felon. What was he doing with a gun? Why is he working with China? No one wants to talk about that. The same way they don't want to talk about those 13 soldiers, the anniversaries of their death. Now, mind you, I said when we opened up this third half that 9/11 is right around the corner, but the media will do its best to try and overlook it because they don't care about things like that anymore. Their only concern is about diversity, white supremacist, and how they can scare you into voting for them. Nothing else seems to matter. They don't care about China is in our backyard. They don't care about that. They're telling us, oh, don't pay any attention to it. You would think that a lot of these corporations would have contingency plans to bring a lot of their companies back over shore and not offshore, but they're not thinking about it. They'll wait until it hit us and then they'll say, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, this was already here. No, it wasn't. It wasn't already here. We can't forget who we are. If you forget your history, Andrew, as they always say, you are doomed to repeat it. We can't let that happen. Get to the polls. Wake up. Don't be deceived. Don't listen to Mitch McConnell. This is America, the greatest country, bar none.
Yeah, well said. Thank you so much to guest David McGrath for coming on and participating in this live discussion. David, are you currently working on anything that people can go check out?
You can check me out on my Substack, davidmcgrath.substack.com. The new war, big story on Afghanistan this year. Spent a year long with the parents of the fallen. Had a lot of great conversations about the mishaps surrounding the pull out from Afghanistan, and a story on Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, who was the only person to actually be held accountable, even though for the disastrous pull out, even though he wasn't involved in any way other than speaking up about the terrible leadership of General Mark Milley. And big story with Stu Scheller, the only person to be held accountable, unfortunately.
Yeah, you guys want to be sure to check that out. Thank you all for joining us on After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, wherever you stream. Please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, or go to AmericaOutLoud.com. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or fall for nothing.